Today we will be studying Tehillim Tzadik Tet, the 99th chapter of Psalms. As part of the symphony celebrating the kingdom of Hashem in the latter days, after Milchemet Gog u'Magog, our chapter bears many similarities to the preceding Psalms, particularly 97 and 98. But it is no mere repetition, but rather a continuation that is spiced with new and fresh insights. In Psalm 99, it is clear that Hashem has already vanquished the enemies of Israel and has established his reign on earth. Here, the focus is on the seat of his holy monarchy, Jerusalem, among the Jewish people with whom he renews his special covenant as they crown Hashem all over again. In this psalm, all of the elements of the preceding chapters, 90 through 98, come to a musical crescendo, where the choir sings a threefold refrain, Kadosh, 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 between each stanza. The psalm divides into three distinct parts, verses 1 to 3, 4 and 5, and 6 through 9. And at the end of each of these stanzas, the choir declares, Kadosh Hu, Kadosh Hu, and finally, Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Undoubtedly, this song is meant to be sung at the dedication of the third and final Beit HaMikdash, to be built after the coming of the Moshiach. At that point in the future, the past, the present, and future tenses meld together as Hashem sets right the injustices and iniquities committed by and against Bnei Israel. Thus the psalm opens as the 97th did, Hashem Malach, God has and continues to reign. But instead of evoking universal joy at Hashem's revelation and coronation, the nations will tremble in aggravation and trepidation. Hashem Malach Yirgezu Amim, Yoshev Kruvim Tanut Haaretz. Ibn Ezra and Rashi take note that the verb ragaz suggests trembling, but is differentiated from similar synonyms, ra'ad or ragash, in that it implies consternation, as well as fear at the prospect of their eradication. Explains Radak that first those who had wreaked moral devastation to human civilization will be profoundly threatened by the reestablishment of God's law on earth. Only after evildoers are eliminated can the nations be at peace and rejoice in Hashem's monarchy. Both Rashi and Sforno quote the 14th chapter of Zechariah, which describes Milchemet Gog u'Magog, or in English it's called the final battle of Armageddon. And there in the book of Zechariah it is written, Vezot tihyeh hamagefa, and such will be the plague, and continues, Et kol ha'amim asher tzavu al Yerushalayim, the plague that will attack all of the nations that besieged Jerusalem, Hamek Psaro, and then Einav, and finally Leshono, describing the melting of the flesh even as they stood there, the eyes melting in their sockets, the tongue melting in their mouths. This description is apt for nuclear war and the effects of radiation from a bomb. Therefore, Yoshev Kruvim Tanut Haaretz, when Hashem again rests his Shekhinah between the cherubs on the Holy Ark in a rebuilt sanctuary, indicating the return of God's imminent presence in Jerusalem, the earth will tilt, quaking, as evil is eradicated. And then comes the chorus, השם בציון גדול ורם הוא על כל העמים, יודו שמך גדול ונורא, קדוש הוא. God is great in Zion. He rises above all of the nations, and they join in acknowledging and thanking his name, the great and awesome God. Holy is he. But God's judgment is not limited to other nations, as Hashem demands obedience and moral rectitude among Jews as well. And therefore, in the second stanza, we read, Ve'oz melech mishpat ahev, ata konanta meisharim, mishpat utzdaka b'Yaakov, ata asita. Hashem established moral law as the condition for the covenant with Avraham. And so he declared in Bereshit, Ki yedatif leman yitzaveh banav, to do mishpat utzdakah. God said that his special relationship, his love and recognition of Avraham was because Avraham would command his sons and his descendants after him to do mishpat utzdakah, the law and charity and justice. And that is echoed in our psalm, Mishpat utzdaka b'Yaakov, ata asita. We hear again the term meisharim that we heard in Psalms 96 and 98. And again here, Rashi interprets this term as ethical behavior beyond the letter of the law, and cites two examples from the Torah about how one should treat enemies with humane kindness. In the book of Shmot we read, Ki tifga shor oyevecha, o chamaro, o toe baderech. We read, Ki tifga shor oyivcha, o chamaro, toe, hashev tishivenu lo. Should you come upon the ox that belongs to your enemy, or his donkey, lost in the field, you must return and again return the lost animal to his owner. And then later on we read, Ki tireh chamor son echa rovetz tachat masao. Should you see your donkey that belongs to your sworn enemy crouching under a heavy burden, would you refrain from helping him? Azov ta'azov imo. You must unburden the animal along with your enemy. This ethic was stressed by the overriding moral law presented in Devarim, Ve'asita hayashar ve'hatov be'enei Hashem, which demands menschlichkeit, derech eretz, compromise and the benefit of the doubt, extended to all, including our enemies. And that ethic rises above and beyond 613 mitzvot. In fact, according to some of the great Baalei Musar, it is a condition coming before acceptance of 613 mitzvot. And then again, after demanding that Israelites, Bnei Yaakov, set themselves right not only in terms of mitzvot ben adam lamakom, between man and God, but more importantly between man and his fellow man, comes the chorus, Romemu Hashem Elokeinu vihishtachavu lehadom raglav kadosh hu. Elevate, exalt Hashem our God, and bow at the footstool of his feet, for he is holy. Finally, in the last stanza, our poet evokes משה ואהרון בכהניו, ושמואל בקוראי שמו. קוראים אל השם, והוא יענם. Does this imply the reincarnation of Moshe, Aharon, and even Shmuel Hanavi, Bimot HaMashiach, where they will again lead the nation and serve in the Beit HaMikdash Yerushalayim, something they did not merit to do in their lifetimes? Radak suggests that these great men who heard God's voice through the cloud, who could be assured that their prayers were answered, as they always advocated for Am Yisrael. Nevertheless, these men, Shamru Edotav V'chok Natan Lamo, they obeyed God's ordinances, even the laws they could not understand, subjugating themselves to Hashem's will, and therefore Nokem al alilotam. Hashem took vengeance against those who tried to usurp Moshe, Aharon, and Shmuel, as God had done to Korach and his band when they rebelled against Moshe and Aharon, as God had done to the enemies of Shmuel when they tried to unseat him. Rashi, on the other hand, believes that the poet stresses that even such exalted men proved fallible, and God punished them for the breaches in their behavior. Moshe Aaron lost their tempers and called out to Israel, Shimuna Hamorim, when they asked, from where will we drink when the well of Miriam dried up? So Moshe and Aaron were condemned to die in the desert and did not merit to cross the Jordan and enter Eretz Israel. Similarly, Shmuel was admonished for failing to rebuke his sons who felt entitled and behaved with an attitude of superiority to Am Yisrael. With this veiled warning, the chorus reaches a crescendo and reads, Kromemu Hashem Elokeinu V'hishtachavu Lehar Kodsho Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Exalt Hashem our God, bow to his holy mountain, for Hashem our God is holy. The chorus, like the angels on high, pronounce three times, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And we, like them, do this in Kedusha, in Chazarat Hashatz. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot.